call this meeting to order at 6 p.m. This is our regular meeting for Tuesday, January 2nd, 2018. Madam Clerk, please call the roll.
Jim Sykes.
Here.
Matthew Beck.
Here.
George McKee.
Here.
Ted Leonard.
Here.
Dan Mayfield.
Here.
Barbara Doty's running late. Randall Kowalki.
Present.
You do have a quorum, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Madam Clerk. Let's take a look at agenda item 3, the agenda. Is there anything members want to pull from the consent agenda? Seeing none, we'll have the consent agenda as approved. Is there anything else on the agenda you want to change? Seeing none, the agenda is approved as is. That's a new one. Pledge of Allegiance. Mr. Wallace, would you please lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance?
Allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you, Mr. Wallace. Appreciate that. Are there any changes to the special meeting minutes of December 12th and 19th or the regular meeting minutes of December 19th? Any objection to those minutes presented? Hearing none, the minutes are approved as presented. Let's go down to agency reports. We'll have the cities. Mr. Wallace, do you want to lead out?
Good evening, Mayor, Assembly Members, Nate Wallace, City Manager for City of Palmer, for the record. I've been away for a while because the city went through its budget process, which took us about 3 months, which is standard. We start in October and finish December. So I'll just give you tonight some highlights from our 2018 budget, which took effect yesterday. So for total projected revenues for the city, we're projecting just over $17 million, which is an increase from last year. And that's primarily due to the Fred Meyer's store opening that happened this year. We didn't account for the first quarter, so we added that first quarter in, so that's what we're projecting a little bit more. We had several events this past year in the city that we have annually, and they seem to be growing as well as far as sales tax revenue. All those events were highly attended, which is a good thing for the city of Palmer, so we accounted for that as well. Our projected expenditures for 2018 are just under $17 million. It's $16.9 million, which is an increase from last year, about $400,000. That's primarily our wastewater treatment plant. We had an increase. We're building a new facility out there, so we increased our projections for expenditures out there. And overall, in our general fund spending, an increase of about $164,000 from 2017 to 2018. So we held it pretty close from year to year, which is interesting because personnel costs account for 47% of our overall budget. So when you have that small increase, we are cutting somewhere else. But we've managed to maintain services at the same level we've seen in the past. One reason we can do that is we've had excess revenues projected from year to year. And we've underspent from year to year. So for the last couple of years, we've put back about $500,000 each year into our general fund, into our unassigned reserve. We still project our reserve to be about $3.5 million, even after dipping into that to fund some of our capital projects for 2018. Our water rates will increase by 5.5%. That's due to a study that was done 4 years ago, and this is the last year of that, those cost increases for the water side. Our sewer rates will increase by 9.5%, and that's to account for the bond and the construction work that's going on. We had a $5 million bond last year, and that's being matched by the feds, the USDA, by another $4.8 million. So it's a $12 million project funded by the federal government. The state kicked in $2.5 million several years ago. We're just now getting around to spending that. So that's why our sewer rates are increasing. Our solid waste rates will remain unchanged. Even though there's an increase for dumping fees this year, we won't have to pass that on because we have a significant reserve in our solid waste fund. So we're passing that on to our users. Our mill rate remains unchanged at 3 mils, and that's been pretty steady for the last several years. As well as our sales tax remains at 3%. We're seeing no increase there, again, because we've managed to keep our reserve pretty healthy. Public safety, a lot of concern to everyone. That is 40% of our overall general fund budget, right around $3 million. Our police department is fully funded as it has been in previous years, and also thanks to the borough for the $75,000 grant for the DEA officer. Between that, Matsu Health Foundation and our own funding, we'll be able to add another officer. It was mentioned today we might forfeit an officer. We're actually sending a seasoned officer to the DEA and hiring a new officer. So our city strength will remain the same. We'll still provide the same level of security that we have within the city limits as previous years. Fire department will remain fully funded, as well as the portion that goes to the Greater Palmer Fire Service Area. And we will continue to provide that service. And we look forward to negotiating a longer-term contract coming up. But we don't see any changes there as far as funding for the fire department. Public Works, again, funded the same level. We did add capital funding to jumpstart some of our paving projects. We still have several roads that are unpaved in Palmer. It's a quality of life issue as well as air quality issue. The dust of our roads does contribute to some of the air quality, especially in the summer months. So it's something we're looking to get after again coming 2018. That first project is what we're looking to do is connect the bike trail that goes along the Glen Highway, that goes through a tunnel and connects to Auklet. We're looking to connect Auklet, pave Auklet, put a bike trail, and that'll connect it to the trail that goes out to the Butte. And that's our intention. It's connected to the Parks Bond Trail that's going in on the south side of Palmer. So we're looking to add a paved road, a bike trail, to connect with other things that are going on around the city. One of the hotbed issues, it's not much a hotbed issue, but one of the sensitive issues that we're looking at is video surveillance for city property. We had some issues at the airport for airport security, some fuel theft. You may have seen that there's someone caught out in the Butte. And we've had issues at Palmer as well, so they're looking at putting video security at some of our public buildings, not on private property. But we're also considering putting video in public parks as well as public buildings. So we'll have additional public hearings on how that may look. Before we spend any money, we'll come up with a policy so that everyone can ensure that their rights are being protected and we're not being invasive, but that is something that we're looking at. You'll see in the coming spring, we'll do some work on City Hall. We're going to improve the parking lot, make it ADA accessible. Should give us a facelift, at least for that front part of our building. And also the Fire Station 3-1, and once that property is transferred, we'll also redo the parking lot there. And we appreciate the borough's support of that fire station over the years, and we look forward to taking over as our own. Our sewer system, we're going to put another $350,000 besides the wastewater treatment plant into our lift stations to make sure that they're still functional, remain functional, and stay ahead of the game for infrastructure. We're also awarded up to $323,000 in federal funds for ADA sidewalk improvements. Some of those will occur just around outside the borough parking lot here and the ball fields. So we look forward to matching that with city funds. We've upgraded our dispatch equipment, primarily the radio consoles, for another $500,000. So we can talk to the rest of the state. We're continuing our streetlight LED replacements. All the main lights are done. We still have to finish the decorative lights. There's been a significant cost savings for the city. The project started about 3 years ago, and we're about to finish that up this year. And then finally, our airport improvement program. We spent $7 million of federal funding, which really cost the city about $90,000, and the state kicked in again several years back, about $200,000 of that. We're looking at another $800,000 next year. Again, city matching 6% to continue some construction project out there. And so we're hoping to keep the economy injected with construction projects. But the big one for next year is really state-funded. It's the Glen Highway project, which will start at Bogard, work its way down to Springer for 2018. And we understand from Springer to the interchange will happen in 2019. And then Evergreen up to the intersection of Cobb, which is right at the corner of City Hall, part of that project. So a lot of stuff will be going on in the city of Palmer. Not all of it by the city of Palmer, but we look forward to a good construction season next year. So, depending on any questions, that's all I have for tonight.
Any questions? Thank you very much. Mayor Cottle.
Mayor Holter, Assembly Members, Bert Cottle, Mayor of the City of Wasilla. I have a few items tonight. First of all, I want to thank you all for the legislative meeting today. I think that was worthwhile. It always helps when it's election year. I think we have a bigger turnout, so that was good too. Also, I want to thank all the volunteers who made this year's Christmas Friendship Dinner at the Menard Center, the biggest and best ever. They had just over 5,000 meals served out there this year. They've already started plans for next year. Tuesday night fights are back at the Menard Center on January 9th from 7 p.m. to 10 p.m. Rotary Exchange is hosting a 3-day event out at the Menard Center from January 11th, 12th, 13th, and 14th. And don't forget our 101-year birthday party coming up on Saturday 20th at the Menard Center. Tickets are $20 a piece, and this year's theme is the 1950s. January 17th, beginning at 9 a.m., City Hall parking lot, the mobile mammogram van will be there. If you want to make an appointment, you can call 212-3151 or go to 212-MAM. And then on January 24th at the Menard Center is this year's Homeless Connect. And that's usually at least 35 to 45 agencies will come out there and do Homeless Connect at the Menard Center. Thank you.
Thank you, Mayor. I don't see anybody from the school district. How about the joint? Is there any reports from the Joint Assembly School Board?
We have
not. Oh, we got DEC meeting. Okay, excuse me, I missed one. Okay, now we're ready for the DEC. Sorry, ma'am. Report on water quality standards.
Thanks, Mayor Halter, Manager Mosley, Assembly Members. I'm Cindy Gilder. I'm with the Department of Environmental Conservation. And the reason I'm here is because we're currently out to public notice on our, what I call our report card, on the health of Alaska's waters. And there's a couple of waters that are within the borough that we have findings on, so I thought I wanted to come out and talk to you. These decisions are really based on water quality data that we've collected over a number of years. It's an analytical evaluation between what does the data say and what are our water quality standards. And what we look for is persistence in, are they meeting the standards or are they not meeting the standards all the time? So some of the good news, Cottonwood Creek, Little Meadow, and Wasilla Creek all meet standards for DAO, dissolved oxygen, pH, sediment, and turbidity. There were some additional testing on other parameters, but there wasn't a persistent finding, so we haven't made a decision on those parameters. Those go in the I'm not sure pile. On the findings that aren't so good, the Little Susitna River for petroleum and turbidity, as well as Lake Lucille for lead and zinc in the sediments, are finding where the water quality and the sediments do not meet our standards, and these waters will be classified as impaired. In the instance of the Little Sioux, because the Board of Fish has taken action to ban fishing from a two-stroke motor, it's impaired with a plan. The other waters will be working on plans to help bring the water back to water body health. As I said, we're out to public notice right now. The public comment period ends January 29th. We're having a public meeting on Thursday night in the Anchorage office. That there's also you can telephone in. It's on the flyer we've provided. And then I guess I just want to say in conclusion, I got a question, I got interviewed by Alaska News Nightly about how long does it take to fix some of these problems when we find them in water quality. And the answer is it's partially associated with how difficult the problem it is to solve and what the commitment to the community is to make bring our waters back to being healthy. So with that, I'll...
Yeah. On the Little Sioux, how fast are you switching over from two-stroke to the four cylinders?
The Board of Fish in January of 2017 banned fishing from the old carbureted two-stroke. So you can no longer fish on the Little Sioux with the older carbureted motors. Sort of a rule of thumb, for every 5 gallons of gas, the older two-stroke motors lose about 2 gallons to a combination of the water slash atmosphere. The newer direct fuel motors or the four strokes lose about 12 ounces. So you get better gas mileage for a reason.
Yeah. Big. All right, Senator Sykes, did you have a question?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Through the mayor, thank you, Ms. Gilder. My ears perked up about lead and what at Lake Louise?
And lead and zinc in Lake Lucille, in the sediments in Lake Lucille.
Oh, Lake Lucille. I thought you said Louise.
Yeah, no, Lake Lucille.
All right.
In the sediments. It's a result of stormwater runoff.
And so what do you do about it?
Well, you want to try and minimize the runoff that's coming in and capture those contaminants before they hit the lake. There's usually, it will drive a need for engineering design studies to say, how do we manage our stormwater? Most of the thinking these days is to try and keep the water on site. We helped fund a rain garden at the Palmer City Center a number of years ago. So managing the stormwater that way keeps it out of our creeks and lakes.
Thank you.
Okay, anybody else? Any questions? Oh, Senator Mayfield.
Thanks, Mr. Mayor. Through the mayor, Ms. Gilmer, so last time I heard, Big Lake was still classified as an impaired water body. Can you tell me the last time that was tested and what kind of results we had there?
I want to say the last time we did testing, I think, was 2014. I think that was the year we did a water quality study. The findings were such that the levels are still at are impaired, until we get rid of those two-stroke motors, you're probably not going to see a change.
Yeah. Just a follow-up. Yeah. So have the number of impaired sites increased or decreased?
The number of impaired sites
in the Big Lake area?
I don't know in the Big Lake area. Overall, our number of impaired waters statewide have decreased. If you look at the fact sheet, we've got 18 waters that we're finding are healthy, some of which, like Granite Creek or the five impaired waters down in southeast, were all, or the five waters, five unnamed creek in southeast, were all on the impaired list. Through actions, either in the instance of the five unnamed creeks, it was by the Forest Service. In the instance of Granite Creek, it was the City and Borough of Sitka in conjunction with DEC. The waters are now back to being healthy. So we've got 18 coming, a combination of either finding they're healthy to start with or coming off the impaired list, and three going on.
Mr. Moosen?
Cindy, I have a very important question to ask you. You said Lake Louise has...
Lake Lucille.
Lake Lucille. Lake Lucille has contaminants of lead.
Lead and zinc.
Lead and
high
zinc.
High level in the sediment.
Okay. For my favorite ice fishermen, are the fish safe to eat?
It's at the levels are over the what they call the probable effect level to aquatic life. So it's not necessarily the fish, but there are other aquatic organisms.
Okay, but if he starts shaking, I should send him to the hospital? I'm joking.
I'm not a doctor.
Senator Mayfield.
Maybe you can clarify to the manager. Using the example of Big Lake had a few impaired areas right around the marinas that sort of gas and right in the area where there's a state campground. And so the entire lake was not impaired, but in the vision of DEC, the entire lake is impaired because some sites on the lake are impaired.
Can I?
Okay, so perhaps you can correct me on that, but that's my understanding.
Can I clarify?
Go ahead, please.
Can I clarify with the
Please,
data?
Sure.
When we did that four-day testing on Big Lake, and part of what we're looking at as a threshold is what's the four-day average for all the sites. And you are correct. The concentrations around the marinas and the boat launch areas were the highest. But even when we averaged the data on the east side of the lake for all that area, we ended up over the thresholds when we even included the background sites. So we included what was supposed to be clean in that averaging, and we were over. But the concentrations, you are correct, the concentrations are the highest in that area. In terms of Lake Lucille, the concentrations that we're finding impaired are right at the stormwater outfalls.
Cindy, because Lake Lucille is now considered an impaired waters, will that have any effect on fish and game restocking Lake Lucille? Because that is a restock site for fish and fishing. Will you turn the information over to them, and will that have any effect on their decision?
I have not seen them take, in my tenure, I can't speak for fish and game, obviously. I have not seen them make any changes in decisions based on our impairments. In terms of stocking, the lake is already considered impaired. It's already on the polluted list because of dissolved oxygen problems. And that happened a number of years ago.
Okay, well, thank you very much for your report.
I have some fact sheets that I'll leave on the back on the two waters that are in Matsu.
Yep. Thank you very much. Appreciate the report. Now, Joint Assembly School Committee.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. We have not met since our previous assembly meeting.
Okay, thank you. Any other public relations reports from the assembly members or staff? See you none. Mr. Moosey, your turn.
Yes, so I've been asked to request, we've had a public records request for the last 3 months of the year. We've had 34 requests. We have spent 50 hours and 25 minutes on handling these issues, and that amounts to my staff wage time about $2,500 to collect that information. What is not included is when we have requests, oftentimes they have to be reviewed on what is public and what is not. And so that review time by our attorney's office is not included in those numbers, and we'll have them going forward. The next item I have is Alaska Historical Commission has awarded $25,000 grant to the Rebacek Colony Farm. So that is good news for them. Rebacek?
Rebacek.
Okay, I guess the Rebacek didn't get it, but Rebacek did, $25,000. And so one thing that we have is, you know, we want to kind of sing the praises of our finance director. About 18 months ago, she was promoted to the finance director. At the same time, she has been doing her old job. So she's been doing two jobs at once. And so we have got a couple awards that we like the mayor to present. Mm-hmm. One for the Mat-Su Borough on our budget reporting, and one for the outstanding work of our finance director on her efforts. And so Cheyenne has a good team that works. I think to a person internally, customer service has improved greatly. It also has improved greatly externally. And that is really due to the leadership of Cheyenne. So the award is well-deserved.
So just for the record, Assemblymember Doty arrived at 6:21 p.m. Welcome. And Ms. Heindel, would you please come forward? And John and I are going to come down and...
Two awards here. One personally for you from the Government Finance Officers Association of the United States and Canada presents this certificate of recognition for budget preparation to Cheyenne Heindel, Finance Director, Matt Newsom, Assistant Borough, dated December 7, 2017. So that's the first one. But really, Distinguished Budget Presentation Award presented to the Matthews Mississippi Borough for the fiscal year beginning July 1st, 2017, signed by Executive Director Christopher Merrill. But I think this is the award we want you to have and keep in your office because it was your work and your staff's work that got us those awards, and we appreciate it. So thank you very much.
And Mr. Mayor, in response to having the attorney do an executive session, I have nothing further tonight.
Okay. So we were at other reports. So Mr. Spropolis, do you have any?
I'll talk with you all later.
Okay. We do have an executive session later. So Madam Clerk, could you take over?
I don't have a report, Mr. Mayor, but I do want to remind the Assembly that the next meeting is next week, the 12th in Talkeetna, and I will be sending out the agenda as soon as we have it.
Okay. What time does that meeting start?
That starts at 11 a.m., Mr. Mayor.
And it's going to be at the new library?
Talkeetna Library.
Okay. That should be an interesting, fun meeting for us to cancel. Okay. Let me rephrase that. Are there any comments on the citizens and other correspondents? Let's move on. Hearing none, that is presented. Madam Clerk, the IMs, please.
IM 18-8, reporting the conclusion of contract for bid number 15-168B to Granite Construction Company for the Trunk Road Extension South Phase 1 construction for the final contract amount of $11,401,808.25.
Thank you. Any discussion? Hearing none, no discussion. IM is presented. There are no persons to be heard. We're at public hearings. We have several here on the public hearings. If you wish to speak, please sign up in the back of the room for each particular ordinance. You will have 3 minutes to testify. And Madam Clerk, let's start with Ordinance 17-142.
An ordinance establishing a non-conforming use section within MSB 1729 and modifying MSB 1780 by eliminating references to non-conforming uses in flood hazard areas.
Okay, thank you. I'll open the public hearing. Do we have I'm seeing the clerk shake their head. We don't have a sign-up list. Anybody in the audience wish to speak to 17-142? Seeing and hearing none, I'll close the public hearing at this time. Assemblymember Beck, would you move the legislation?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I move to adopt Ordinance 17-142.
Thank you. Any discussion? Any objection to passage of 17142? Seeing and hearing none, legislation passes. Madam Clerk, 17154.
An ordinance accepting and appropriating $14,548.57 from Manuska Telephone Association to Fund 440, Project Number 20323, for upgrading and enhancing the telecommunications and information services within the Manuska Sentinel Library Network.
Thank you. I'll open a public hearing. I see they're waiving no sign-ups. Anybody in the audience wish to speak on 17154? Seeing and hearing none, we'll close the public hearing at this time. Assemblyman Rebeck.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I move to adopt Ordinance 17-154.
Any discussion by assembly members? Any objection to passage of this ordinance? Seeing and hearing none, legislation passes. That's all we have for public hearings tonight at audience participation. So we have reached this point. If anybody wishes to speak, we do not have a sign-up list, I see. But if anybody wants to spend 3 minutes on any subject, now is the time. Seeing no one, I will close the audience participation at this time. We're at the consent agenda. We haven't pulled anything from the consent agenda, so Madam Clerk, please read the consent agenda to the record.
Resolution 18-2, a resolution approving the amended scope of work to remove and replace siding for Susitna Valley Junior Senior High School, project number 40167. Resolution 18-3, a resolution supporting the formation of a partnership between the Mat-Su Borough and appropriate stakeholders for the purpose of creating a UMed district plan. AM 18-1, approval of change order number to contract number 1679P with TBI Construction Company in the amount of $48,170 for freight elevator replacement and elevator modification design build at the Dorothy Swanda Jones Building. AM 18-2, awarded bid number 1847P to Diversified Construction Incorporated in the contract amount of $1,432,600 for the Willow and Talkeetna Ice Rinks open air roof system design build. AM 18-3, acceptance of late filed and retroactive senior citizen and disabled veteran exemption applications. 18-4, authorization to purchase from General Fire Apparatus Rosenbauer in the amount of $711,314, a pumper fire apparatus for the West Lakes Fire Service Area. And AM 18-5, award of proposal number 1864P to FE Contracting Incorporated in the amount not to exceed $10,539,974 for construction manager general contractor services for Station 6-2 construction.
Thank you. Assemblyman Beck, would you please move the consent agenda?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I move to approve the consent agenda as read into the record by the clerk.
Yeah, any objection? Seeing and hearing none, the consent agenda is approved. And I particularly like that resolution 18-03 on the partnership between the Mat-Su Borough and appropriate stakeholders for the purpose of creating the UMed district plan. I think that's a very worthy thing. So we have no unfinished business. There's no vetoes. Madam Clerk, let's do introductions, please.
And Mr. Mayor, these are introductions for public hearing on January 16th. Ordinance 18-2, Ordinance 18-3, Ordinance 18-4.
Thank you. Assemblyman Beck.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I move to introduce the legislation as read into the record by the clerk and set the public hearings for January 16, 2018.
Any objections from the assembly members? Seeing and hearing none, legislation is introduced. Vacancy report, Assemblyman Beck.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I move to confirm the mayor's recommendations as follows. Board of Adjustment and Appeals, Glenn Price. Board of Equalization, David Heyer. Board of Ethics, Diana Straub. Health and Social Services Board, Victoria Knapp. Library Board, Paige Moore. Local Emergency Planning Committee, Alyssa Farr, Norman Straub, William Morrow, Brian Ritchie. Removal of Brian Galloway. MSB Fish and Wildlife Commission, John Wood, Andrew Couch. Parks, Recreation and Trails Advisory Board, David Palmer, Edward Strabel. Planning Commission, Eileen Patterson. Wastewater and Septage Advisory Board, Michael Campfield. Butte FSA number 2, Gregory Nielsen. Greater Palmer Consolidated FSA number 132, Barry Mothershead. West Lake FSA number 136, William Brown. Bogard RSA number 25, Jennifer Nofke. Meadow Lakes RSA number 27, Michael Fulton. Talkeetna Sewer and Water Service Area number 36, Paul Button.
Thank you. Any discussion on the vacancy report? Any objection? Seeing and hearing no objection, it is approved. And I want to thank Deborah Weatherhorn from the clerk's office, who our December changeover on vacancy is quite high, and all the work she does to present those to the Assembly, I really appreciate it. And so, Madam Clerk, would you thank her for me, please? And we have no other new business, no referrals, no reconsiderations. Let's go to executive session. We are at executive session for the MV, so sit in a discussion on potential resolution. Senator Beck, would you please move us into executive session?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I move to enter executive session for matters which the immediate public knowledge of, which would clearly have an adverse effect upon the finances of the borough, and matters which by law, municipal charter, or ordinance are required to be kept confidential, and matters involving consideration of government records that by law are not subject to public disclosure, and discussion of matters covered by attorney-client privilege, in particular to discuss potential resolution of the MV Susitna. Those in executive session will be the mayor, the assembly, the manager, the attorney, and the clerk.
Okay, so we'll go off record. Any objection to executive session? Seeing and hearing none from assembly members, we will go out of regular session at, 6:32 p.m.